This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, every Saturday from 10 until noon on Joy 94.9.
Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9, Macca, Tass and Bronnie Pike. Tony Walker is the CEO of Ambulance Victoria, and as we heard from Martin Foley, some stats around ambulance call-outs within 400 metres of where the proposed supervised injecting room is, within 400 metres, 3,000 call-outs. What period of time was that over, Tony?
So I haven't seen those exact stats, Macca, but I would suggest they're over a couple of years. I know for the last 12 months we've had just over 400 overdoses in the city of Yarra, and I suggest the majority of those are there, and 35 deaths that that have obviously been reported this week. So I'd suggest those statistics relate to a couple of years, more than just the 1 year.
So Ambulance Victoria, which of course is the paramedics, this is a huge portion of your work, isn't it, dealing with drug overdoses?
It is. If we look at drugs overall, we're probably dealing with close to 11,000 cases a year, which is nearly 2% of our workload relates to illicit drugs in one form or another. So the issue of overdose, the issue of people accessing drugs in the community, and sadly, as we know, deaths as a result of that, are something that we paramedics see every day.
So what are the paramedics? What's their view? I mean, Ambulance Victoria is supporting this and you understand the framework. I know the ambulance union support it. What's the view of the paramedics on the ground? What are they saying to you?
So they've been actually very vocal for some time because they're seeing, obviously, the human issues every day. So they've been quite active. We've chosen not to take a position up until this week on the basis that we've been providing data to all the parliamentary reviews. We know we can get caught up into becoming politicised in that conversation. So we've taken the position of actually informing the debate, and we were asked by the Premier for our position on it if government were to change its policy, and we were very clear that we were supportive because, as the Minister previously said, and I know a number of you said this morning, this is a health issue. We're dealing with people whose lives are impacted, and as a result of that, we're supportive of anything that that may save lives or reduce suffering for people.
One thing I'm interested in is, in a sense, the recidivism, or, you know, the number of people that you're seeing again and again, because that's certainly the evidence in New South Wales that you know, it was that really hardcore group that were using a disproportionate amount of ambulance time that, you know, really made a big difference. Do you want to sort of comment?
I would suggest we're no different, Bronwyn. So I suggest that that they're a core group of people. We also see a lot of people who just, for whatever reason, are using drugs and have just got a bad batch, either more concentrated, etc., which impacts on them. So I don't. One of the challenges is we often rarely ever get the names of the individuals that do this, so it's very hard to often get a sense of, are we going back to the same people. But I have no reason to not think that what's being seen in New South Wales wouldn't also be the case here in Victoria.
Can you comment a little bit on the pressure on our hospital system? As you know, I've got a big interest in Footscray and Sunshine Hospital emergency departments, which are seeing about three times as many people as they were built for. That's not a plug, by the way. But what's the experience?
It's interesting in the broader drug issue. So heroin's an interesting one. So heroin narcotic drug overdose in the main doesn't go to hospital. The majority of people we will treat with Narcan and they'll go on their way. But we do know there are a whole lot of other drugs in the community, particularly issues around ice, benzodiazepines, Valium, things like that do end up going to hospital. So I would suggest that, you know, heroin tends to be managed in the community in the sense of us treating and then not going to hospital. The other illicit drugs that are being used and or misuse of prescription drugs actually do have a direct impact on the health services. Yeah. So you're spot on. Yeah.
So, Tony, do you have a view about whether ice should be allowed to be injected in a supervised injecting facility?
That's an interesting one. I think they're just so different drugs. And I think, you know, the ice issue is one. I can speak from my own personal experience. So in you know, my time as a paramedic, you know, heroin generally people are You know, it tends to sedate them. That's the issue. And so the issue is just so much they stop breathing.
So they're easier to manage.
They're easier
as well.
To manage. You know, sometimes they're not happy that we've spoiled their hit.
Yes,
but,
yes.
You know, that's the nature of the environment we're in. Well, ice is a different drug, I've got to say. You know, we see these are people who are often out of control.
Yes.
We are having to sedate them to manage them. I don't think they're the same. I think, and I can understand why there'd be a reluctance to have something like ice in this. There are others who are obviously expert in this. My intuitive sense would be ice is not something that... you know, you can use in a way that actually it tends to change people's behaviour.
Mm.
And, you know, we're seeing that every day in violence and having to treat people.
So they can be so much more aggressive and hyperactive.
That's correct. That's correct,
That they are very different.
Yeah. Yeah, so cohort. I can see why you wouldn't want to have the two of them there. Again, there are others who are much more expert in this space than I am, but I could understand intuitively why there would be a reluctance to have that happen.
And I do constantly hear stories about the impact that ICE is having in our emergency departments and with our emergency services. So we do need a response tailored around ICE use, especially, you know, habitual and large quantities of ICE use. Clearly, a supervised injecting facility is not...
No, it's not the right place.
So I'd be very keen to see some further work done in that area. So any thoughts?
Well, I think ICE is, you know, again, this is around the education and getting people into support. What we see often with ICE is people who are out of control. We're having to sedate them to get them to look after them and the people
and
around them.
And it's dangerous for you. Incredibly. Yes. Terribly dangerous.
It's one of the drivers for some of the violence we see against our paramedics. So I think they're... you know, one of the things that certainly resonated with me around the injecting room was the opportunity that it provides for people to be put into rehabilitation, supported in pathways. Mm. You know, they're more likely, I think, to be open to the conversation. From my experience in someone who's affected by ICE,
absolutely. Look, Marianne from New South Wales just tells me every time I see her that everyone who comes in wants to be a recovering addict.
Yes.
There are not people that are coming in going, yippee, you know, and I mean, some of the discourse on the radio
safely.
Go, wow, you know, on the radio they were saying, oh, you know, some stupid 18-year-old goes, oh, I want to try heroin. I mean, honestly, if you've been into these places, they are clinical environments. Mm. They are not, you know, out the back of the shelter shed, let's muck around with some drugs type environment. And, you know, everyone who's in there wants to change their lives. And this provides the best opportunity.
I mean, this is about reducing the risk to the community that surrounds that area. It's about saving the lives of the people that are in the grip of this drug.
Mm.
It's about reducing the risk for all the emergency services workers, both on the road and in public hospitals. It is not about encouraging drug use.
Mm.
It is a logical, evidence-based response. And I'm very proud that Victoria Police, that Ambulance Victoria, all the other emergency services, the government, some upper house MPs have actually taken the right step here and said, you know what? What we're doing isn't working. We need to try this and let's see how it goes. And the history in King's Cross is a good one. As Martin said, it was... a huge number of people who are still with us because of that King's Cross facility. Do you see a downside to this at all, Tony? Is there a downside? What do you say to the people that say this is going to encourage drug use?
Well, I think it's fair to say that taking Bronwyn's point, I don't think no one wants to be an addict. Mm. There is no safe use of drugs. I'd prefer to live in a society where this isn't an issue, but it is, and we can't turn a blind eye to it. It was interesting. Thinking about this issue of evidence based practice, which we talked about before. If I came out tomorrow with a new intervention that would save 35 lives a year. It'd be heralded.
You'd get an Order of Australia medal.
Some medical bit of
exactly.
research or something.
Well, this is exactly the same. This is the same. And from a safety point of view, our paramedics are seeing needles in dark alleys. Yeah. There's risk of violence. This addresses 400, potentially up to 400 people a year who right now we are treating for overdose who puts our paramedics at risk due to environmental factors that will be reduced. So from my perspective, I can only see the positives out of it. I can understand why people are concerned and they apply a value judgment to this, but if we look at it as individuals in a health crisis, then we respond as a health system, and that's how we're looking at it.
I just want to close on a personal note. For all those who oppose this, I want you to think if it was your sister or your brother that died from an overdose and you did everything you could to help that person, to stop them taking the drugs, to seek support, and it didn't work, and the reason they died was because they overdosed with a dirty needle in a shitty, filthy hole. Just think about that. If that's what you want, if that's what you want to continue, then oppose it. If you want to save lives, you need to support this. Tony Walker, thank you.
Well done, Tony. Great,
yeah, great work. Great
thank
work.
You. And thank you for the work you do with Ambulance Victoria. And supporting your paramedics and supporting the community, it's significant. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.